My original sermon, so but I just thought I'd share this with you. So we went down to London this weekend to go watch the Tutankhamun exhibition. It's the last time that it's actually going out of Egypt. After that, it's staying in Egypt. And above all the little elements, they had the Book of the Dead. Don't write this down, Julie. Book of the Dead, the spells, and some of them are just so bizarre. But the one that sort of stood out to me was, "My mouth has been given to me, that in my speak with it in the presence of the great God." Now, I'm sure they weren't talking about our God, but I just thought that it was quite a nice thing to see. Because like I said, all the others were just random. But anyway, back to tonight. Let us imagine our lives can be defined as a forest, but not just any forest. It is a forest that we've inherited from our parents and grandparents. It is a forest that we will hopefully leave behind for our children and our own children. Thus, it is a forest that's been in our family for many generations, and hopefully for many more. Forests are cut down at an alarming rate throughout the world, and it's big news and a hot topic recently and everywhere. The impact can be seen every day where we go about, and the fires that recently raged in Australia just emphasizes this. It sort of reminded me many, many moons ago when I was still at school, our geology teacher decided to do an exhibition of the rainforest, you know, to show the rainforest in all its glory and the impact that the humans are having upon it. So the good versus the bad. Now, unfortunately, everybody wanted to be the eco-warrior that saved the forest or the native people that shoot the darts at the targets and that sort of things. And nobody wanted to be the baddies, the guys that were chopping down the trees. So that great honor was bestowed upon myself and two of my friends. And the worst bit about it was we had to find our own trees. We had to literally get all the logs, bring them to school, where all the others just got provided plants from the local nursery. So, but enough about that, a little bit more about that later on. Let us start from the beginning, when God created man and woman, and the place of Garden of Eden. I'm sure the garden spoken here about isn't just your average garden, you know, the garden down the local park, but more a garden filled with trees, creating the environment of a forest. Yeah. Adam and Eve failed in this, keeping preserved for future generations. Are we doing the same today? Because as any good lumberjack knows, if you want to prosper in life for the future, you must plan for the future. You cannot remove trees without replacing them. When you take out, what are you leaving behind for the future and the future generations? Sure, we can plunder, get rich in the process, but what about our children and their children? We need to be part of a chain of life. The trees removed today was planted by our grandparents or our parents. The trees we plant today will be harvested by our children and our grandchildren. Yeah. Thus, we are shaped by the past, and with this in mind, we shape the future for future generations. We are children of the past and parents of the future. So let us start and have a look at each of our own forests and ask this very important question. How does the forest look that I've inherited? Some of us may be sat there saying, well, I'm very proud of the forest that I've inherited. There is beautiful trees within it, trees of love, giving examples of true love, trees of knowledge and wisdom, wisdom that we've learned from our parents and our grandparents, and in some cases, if we're lucky enough, our great-grandparents, trees filled with prayer, trees filled with praise, protection, forgiveness, and care. But then some of us might be sat there thinking, well, I'm not very proud of the forest that I've inherited. Within it, there's trees that stand of shame, mistreatment, bare soil, as the trees have been simply removed by generations gone before us. Growing up with no tolerance in our lives, and thus we have no tolerance towards others, just because of the way we think or how they think. So we end up looking at trees with no love, no forgiveness, and no protection. Thus, the forest becomes more pain than inspiration. You're not proud of what you inherit, feeling ashamed. Maybe you feel like setting fire to it. Bring in the big bulldozers, just getting rid of it all, just so that you don't have to experience the pain it causes. Well, we are not alone in these thoughts. There has been many people before us that have done exactly that. Just look at the example of Josiah. If we turn to 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1 to 7. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn from doing what was right. During the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Then, in his 12th year, he began to purify Judea and Jerusalem, destroying all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, and the carved idols, and the cast images. He ordered the altars of Baal be demolished, and that the incense altars which stood above them be broken down. He also made sure that the Asherah poles, the carved idols, and the cast images were smashed and scattered over the graves of those who sacrificed to them. He burnt the bones of the pagan priests on their own altar, and so he purified Judea and Jerusalem. Here is Josiah's forest that he could not have been proud of. His grandfather was a murderer, a child abuser. His own father burned down places of worship. They lived in a truly dark time where they did very seedly things. People believed in magic and witchcraft. People worshipped the stars instead of God, focusing more on the worldly things than thinking of future generations and bringing them up in God's word. What would the future hold if you inherited a forest like this? Well, I guess the question we must ask is, do I continue with this forest and leave it and let it define me? Or do I break the chain? It reminds me of the story of two brothers that grew up with an alcoholic and abusive father. The one turned out to be exactly as his father was, alcoholic, abusive. Yet the other one was a total opposite because he did not want to be defined by his past. Thus, we all have a choice. Even today, the story of Josiah has great relevance in our modern time. Yes, there has been many wiser, richer, and more powerful kings than Josiah, but never before has there been a more braver king. About 600 years before the birth of Christ, the kingdom Josiah inherited was really not in a good place. Temples were in ruins. The law books were lost. People worshipped anything and everything except the one true God. Josiah changed this in the 31 years of his rule. The temples were rebuilt. The people were worshipping God again. Josiah broke the chain. But how did he do it? At a very young age, Josiah inherited the crown. The first thing he did was a brave thing. He decided to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. As we can see in 2 Kings 22, verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But Josiah did more than this. He walked through his own forest, looking for trees that he could be proud of, trees that he didn't mind looking upon. In his search, he did find a tree, the tree of David, and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Because Josiah decided to follow the example of David, things started to change. We can see this within the text verse. He removed things that were not according to God's way. He did this throughout the region that he ruled. I don't think he was a popular king for doing these things, but to be honest, I don't think Josiah cared in that sense. Josiah was making a statement. I will not be defined by my fathers and their fathers. I will be defined by the one true God. In one man's action, a whole nation was saved. and nation that for generations had moved from God, away from God, the trees that have not been shaped by love and care. So, is there a reason Josiah was placed on earth? Well, yes. So why has God placed us on earth? Like I said earlier, some of us might not have a forest that we can be proud of. But as we ask ourselves some simple questions, are we going to be defined by our past? Are we going to rise above the past? Stop making excuses, if only, if this, or if that. We might be sat there thinking, I don't have a forest or a family tree that I could be or use as an example like Josiah did have. Well, let us put away the old family trees and turn towards the Bible. As it says in John 3 verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to the spirit. But what is Jesus trying to say with these words? True belief comes from God through obedience. Our parents might have given us genes, but God gives us true grace. Galatians 4 verse 7, so you are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since you are His children, you had made yourself also an heir. So in a way, God erases our past. He is the bulldozer that removes those trees that cause us pain and hurt. Remember I said earlier that me and my friends had to do all the work to get the trees? It was hard work cutting those trees. Don't worry, we didn't cut any trees down that were still standing. It was all the trees that had fallen down, so we didn't contribute to the environment deteriorating. But several times during that period, we felt like giving up because we still had to do the old manual saw. We didn't have chainsaws or bulldozers. This is also the case in our daily lives where we sometimes just feel we want to give up. Or just going with the flow or losing focus of things around us. Just like Josiah, we have no control over the forest that we inherited. But we do have a choice. Are we going to plant the trees that future generations can be proud of and look upon with pride? The best thing about being a Christian is we have a great gardener or lumberjack on our side in the form of Jesus. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Through God and Jesus dying on the cross for us, we have the perfect example to look to the past and to look towards the future. So, how are we living the forest for our children? Sorry. We've actually started growing a tree in Sunday school with the kids now. So, what it basically entails, it's a tree with the roots, is the things the children already know. The bark will form, I would like to know. So the things the kids would like to know about it. And then the tree trunks is the topics we'll be discussing with them. And at the end of each session, we'll be sticking leaves on that tree, which will be, what have the children learned? Let us as parents continue learning through our own devotional time with God as well. Enjoy the silence of the forest that it provides so that we can truly hear God speak to each one of us. So that one day when our children walk through the forest left to them, they will find trees they can look upon for guidance in their own lives. Trees showing true love, trees of knowledge and wisdom. Trees of prayer, protection, and forgiveness. May ours and their trees be fed with the waters of Jesus and God. May we all grow into trees that will provide great examples for future generations, because we have looked upon the tree of all trees, the tree of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, please nurture us in this cultivation of our own forests. Let us focus on the great example you have provided us, and let us be an example for future generations. Amen.